Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Dances with Wolves. If you remember the movie Dances with Wolves back in 1990, it was an epic movie based on a book by the same title. A Civil War era United States Army lieutenant who travels to the American frontier to find a military post and his dealings with a group of Sioux Indians. The thing I love about this movie, the guy is really a hero. And because he's a hero in battle, he is allowed to pick his post. And he thought, I want to go see the frontier before there is no frontier. So he gets out there. And if you remember the movie, he gets out there and the post has basically been abandoned. And this is where it falls apart. And he is by himself. Now, this is partially where I'm going today. If you are by yourself, you are not going to make it very long. Now, if God has left you by yourself, if you're off in China someplace and there are no other Christians and you're in a remote place and you're the only Christian, hopefully it won't stay that long because God is alive in you and you'll have a chance to share your faith and there'll be someone else. He did not intend for us to do the Christian life by ourselves. Okay? Now, let's start over in Genesis. I usually go left to right. And I'm going to read you a few verses about this. I've read these before. We keep coming back to this. Our whole mission statement as a church is disciples making disciples. You cannot be a disciple maker or a disciple by yourself. It is not possible. And it is my contention that from the second you become a Christian, you ought to be being discipled or you should be discipling someone else. And that should never end till the day you die. There is no reason you say, well, I'm taking a break from the only thing he left you on the planet to do. You can always be with somebody. Part of my personal safety net is I am surrounded by men all the time. I am not trying to get away from people. I am trying to stay as close to people as I possibly can. A few days ago, so happened, I meet with two guys Tuesday morning, two guys Wednesday morning, two guys Thursday morning, two guys Friday morning, and a bunch of other people during the week. But the night before, one of my girls had announced that she was going off to college, a certain place out of state. Now, that hits you pretty hard. You know, leaving the house is tough enough. So it so happened that those two men that met me the next morning got me. And you say, well, but you're discipling them. You're their leader. Let me tell you how this works. I ain't dead. And no matter how much you try to lead and what you are breathing, you're alive. And that day and many days, I need those two men. They just don't need me. And so I sat at breakfast with a couple of friends because we've been at this a long time and cried and processed that. And I'm still processing that because that's life. You know what? I don't want to go through that stuff by myself. I don't want to be alone anymore. I can be strong, I'm strong enough, but sometimes I am not strong. And I need men around me who understand that and will allow me to hurt, to weep, to struggle, to process, and not have to do it by myself. And there are days when I go down and someone has to grab me that has been down that path before and say, you're gonna be okay. This is what you gotta do. This is what it's like. You're gonna make it. Because there are some days you don't feel like you're gonna make it. And Kevin Costner ends up out there in this role, Dances with Wolves, and he is by himself. And if you watch the movie, and I'm not saying Indians are the bad guys, but in this movie, he is supposed to be standing post for the army and ends up absorbed by the enemy because there was no one there to talk to. There was no one there to relate to. That was all there was. And if you get yourself so far out there where you have no connection to God, to his family, to his people, to your brothers, to your sisters in Christ, I'm telling you, you will be eaten alive. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, first time he says something's not good, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. In this case, he makes Eve. What is Eve intended to be? He needs help. I am not good by myself. I have enough trouble being married. I'm still not good all the time. But I would not do well by myself, you know? I'm just geared that way. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You say, well, marriage is hard and it's struggle and I'd love to be married and then I wouldn't be by myself. Let me just put this in here somewhat parenthetically. You cannot get this wrong. You can't just pick someone and say, oh, well, she's great. You know, she's great in bed, whatever. And now we're getting married. You know what? Good luck with that. Because that's going to end about like that. Unless you've got something going on spiritually, emotionally, mentally, that's going to end. You better pick someone who knows the God you know, loves the God you love, and when all hell breaks loose, is going to grab you and hold on for dear life and survive the storms. So you can't do it by yourself. But if you think you're going to get married and then wake up and it's just all going to be beautiful the rest of your life, there is no autopilot in marriage. You cannot make a mistake there. Now, if you do, God is merciful. You end up divorced. It happens. But don't go just barreling into the thing going, well, I got lucky and we'll just see what happens. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a mess on your hands. Because if you're male and you're breathing, you are a piece of work. They've asked me for marriage counseling, so now you know what's going on over there. So as great as it is, and you know, you can't do it by yourself, and as great as it is to have someone, if you say, well, I need someone, a helpmate, then you better pick wisely. You do not make a decision about marrying someone unless you are walking and talking with God. You do not marry someone without permission from God himself. Ecclesiastes 4, keep going to the right. If you get near Proverbs and Psalms in there, you'll see Ecclesiastes. Table of contents in the front if you can't find it. I love these verses. I used to not like these verses because I didn't know how to live them, didn't know what they were about, but I love them now. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. It's just a fact. Coming to church this morning, one of my girls is in the car with me, and she mentioned a friend who they've spent some time together in the last few days and see each other a lot. She ended up asleep on my couch last night, which I love that, by the way. And she said, we are really good friends. She's been a true friend to me. Let me tell you something. You got one true friend, you are a very, very, very wealthy person. A lot of people don't have anybody. You said that's not possible. They don't really have anybody. They don't have anybody that'll listen to them. They don't have anybody they can talk to, that they'll talk to them, that they can trust, that they just get it. They just are friends. Two, when it's working, are better than one. And if you're a guy and you got guy friend like this, you know, there's something about that. I've got a buddy who wants me to come play golf with him in Austin. I don't see him a lot. I don't talk to him a lot. His mom died. I texted him one day. But I will get in my car one day. I will drive to Austin, and we will play 18 holes, have lunch, play 18 holes, and if the sun holds up, we'll play another 9. And wherever I left off with this friend of mine of 30-something years, wherever I left off when I saw him last, we will swing a club, and we will pick up, and I will have the most personal conversation with him that I could have with anybody on the planet, because he is my friend. And he has been there for me in situations and times when I could not get up off the floor. And he came because he is my friend. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him. And when the Bible says woe, it's not a good thing. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. I love stories about military. The stories when you do not leave even a dead body on the battlefield, you get your buddy out of there. And there are soldiers who die in battle, not because they did something stupid, but they went back in after another soldier to get him off the field, and that's where they got killed. Doing the right thing. We will not leave our buddy out there. We will take, if nothing else, his body home. Who you got like that? Who you got like that? You pick up the phone and say, I'm in trouble. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. I got a 6'9" daddy, and I was a little afraid of him growing up, but I'll tell you something about having a 6'9" daddy. When I was with my daddy, nobody messed with us, because my daddy's bigger than everybody's daddy. Everybody's daddy. But by myself, I didn't do so good. But with him, I felt safe. You need somebody. And then he says at the end of that verse 12, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So me, my buddy, if you got three people, great. But even if it's you, somebody else, and the Holy Spirit living in you, God himself wrapped up in that, not easily broken. You'll have a hard time snapping that. Go over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7. You know, some people say, well, I don't want friends because I've had friends before and I tell them my stuff and they betray my confidences. Or I don't want to tell these girls what's going on in my life because they'll think I'm weird. Let me tell you something. There is only so many things you could be doing, okay? I've been doing this a long time. I am yet to have somebody walk in and tell me some sin they're struggling with. And I go, oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. It's just not going to happen. There's a good chance 90-something percent of the men that can hear my voice, 90-something percent of you struggle sexually, just it's a given. And you say, well, but I don't want to tell anybody that. You may not want to give up your problem. That may be the problem. And if you tell someone, now you got to deal with it. But it's eating your lunch. Tell somebody. Get it out there instead of wasting your whole life struggling. Matthew 7. Now, let me tell you what I'm transitioning to now. You cannot be by yourself. There is a reason why it is not good to be by yourself. Because when you get by yourself, when you get isolated, when you get away from the flock, when you get away from God, though that's not possible, you're a believer, he is in you, but you have no encouragement. So when you get out there by yourself, you start listening to just anybody and everybody. And all of a sudden it gets watered down and someone says, well, what about this? And because you have no buddy system, you have nobody with you, you hear something, you go, yeah, that could be true. You're not in the scriptures probably. You don't have any accountability. You're not involved in a body of believers. You're not hearing truth and questioning whether that's really in the book or not. And then you just get pulled away. Look what he says in Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you end up dancing with those wolves. I think I've shared this before. I love this about the Secret Service agents who handle counterfeit money, and they're the guys that are supposed to be able to spot it. Do you know what they do to them? They take Secret Service agents, they lock them in rooms with real money, and they count real money for hours. Why don't they put them in rooms with counterfeit money? They don't need counterfeit money. Because if you handle the real thing all the time, when you touch something that's not real, you go, that's counterfeit. Right. Spend your time counting real money. Read the book. Then when your ears light up and you go, whoa, 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 what was that? And somebody says, well, that sounded right to me. Well, who cares what it sounds like to you? What does the book say? Because he warns them here, false prophets come in, sheep's clothing. They'll look the right way on the outside. They'll have all the trappings. Sheep's clothing, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Watch somebody. If they're not bearing any fruit, something is wrong. If a person is not multiplying, no one's coming to Christ. If there's no fruit of the Spirit, just go there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Someone's going to be alive. Look in their eyes. You say, well, you're judging people. I'm not judging them. I'm just observing. It says you'll know them by their fruits. He goes on, look what he says. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Obviously the answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So watch somebody. If their life manifests itself in bad fruit, something is wrong. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Watch someone's life. Don't just listen to what they say. That's important. But even if they start saying the right things, watch what they're doing. What is going on in their life? You say, well, but you said don't just listen to what they say. What if they're speaking the truth? Let me tell you why it is so important to know the scriptures. The devil quotes scripture all day long with just a slight twist. He will throw something out and just put a little spin on it. And you go, yeah, that sounded kind of right. But if you're not tuned up and you don't know the scriptures, you can get pulled so far away just like that. Luke 10, go there. Look what Jesus does. And the math here is very interesting. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. So he picks 12, okay? Then he picks 70 others also. And these guys are guns. You say, well, it's about the 12. No, there's something about these 70. They had some game. Appointed 70 others also, and look what he does. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So they're kind of an advance team of sorts when he was about to hit all these cities. Now let me tell you what I don't understand here. If you're trying to reach the planet, and you got 70 guys that are worthy and have all this game, why don't you send them out by themselves and double your impact? Why would you send them out two by two instead of 35 teams, send 70 people, and maximize it? Because it's not wise. And in the end, you may have more casualty sending out 70 alone than 35 teams of two. Because it's not good to be alone. You can't do it by yourself. And Jesus knew this stuff. Sends them out two by two. Keep reading there. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. If the laborers are so few, then don't double up, right? Send them out alone. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, and look what he says. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Sends them out two by two. Go to John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying for the people at that time, but also includes us in that prayer. John chapter 17, jump in at verse 13. He says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they, in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm coming back to you, Father. He knows he's going to die. He's going to be crucified, buried, raised from the dead. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, and look what he says. Sanctify them by what? Your truth. Your word is truth. You have to stay in the word. You have to communicate with God through prayer, and you need to stay together. The Bible is filled with one another verses. There is nothing in it to say, go be by yourself on a mountain with your legs crossed and make noises at the sky. You know, be together. Acts chapter 13, go to there, Acts chapter 13. I'm just giving you some practical examples just so you know I'm not jerking verses out of here. Acts 13, 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They, it's again math. Okay, you go that way, I'll go this way, we'll double our efforts. It doesn't work that way. That is not the model. Two by two, stick together. And you say, well, does that mean I got to take a man if I'm a man? You can take your wife. I'm just suggesting don't be by yourself. I didn't grow up dancing. Dancing with Wolves, let me talk about dancing. My girls love the country western dance. There's a family place out in the woods someplace east of Dallas. So they load me up to the night. I'd rather be with them than send them by themselves, you know, amongst wolves, which there were plenty there. So I got my boots on. I got a wife and I got two of my daughters with me. The youngest was spending the night. So I got three women I'm responsible for. I danced every dance. I danced with Rebecca. Sit her down, grab Elizabeth. Put Elizabeth down, pick up Victoria. Go back, get Elizabeth. I thought, you know what? If I want them dancing, and I want them dancing with somebody safe, they're going to have to go backwards, but I'm their guy. So there was another friend of theirs who came with their friend's mom, who's pretty cute. And I had been going through my rotation, and the girls had gone to the bathroom, and this young girl is pointing down the, you know, dance with my mom. Ask her to dance. What do you think I did? I did not dance with that woman, because she's not my wife, and she's not my daughter. And you know what? She's cute, and I wouldn't do well. I don't need another woman in my arms. I got four women. I might dance with my sister. I would not dance with my sister-in-law. You say, you're crazy. And I say, you know what? I don't care what you think. I'm trying to save my butt. And then if you mix a little alcohol, which I don't do that, but you mix a little alcohol and somebody else's wife, you know, two-stepping turns into 12-stepping really fast. Now, you say, I don't agree with you. I can dance with another woman. You know what? That's your deal. I can't. I don't need that in my head. I don't do well with another woman in my arms, so I'm not going there. You say, well, you shouldn't be thinking that. You know what? Whatever. It's not where I need to be, okay? When you get out there in the world and you start dancing with those wolves, you're going to get eaten alive. And you need to have people around you, and you need to keep talking about it, even in sermons for me, and say, you know what? I got to make good choices. I got to stay as far away from the rail as I possibly can. Because the enemy, this wolf, is ravenous and after me, my life, my job, my wife, my kids, and I got to pay attention. One more, 2 Timothy 2, and then I'm run out of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's jump in at verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and look at this phrase, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to what? Do his will. Do you know that it's possible that you could be literally doing the devil's will in your life? You say, well, I'm not praying that. You're not praying anything else. And so the devil comes along, tricks you, spins the thing. It's okay. Do what's right. And you know, you're not hurting anyone. Ever heard that one? It's not hurting anyone. It's in the privacy of your home or your own heart. And your job as a believer is not to go wagging your finger. It's to look at the way, in humility, correcting those in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, change of mind, change of heart, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
I highly recommend the Lord's Prayer every day, not just droning through it, because one of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray that up front in the morning. You don't have to put up a lot of mess. God, I'm just telling you right now, whatever you were going to lead me into today to get my attention, you got it right now. I'm asking you, do not lead me into a place where I'll be tempted. Deliver me from the evil one right now. I do not need this grief today. You say, well, is it possible to take some heat off of you? I believe it is possible. I think we run out the door in our boxers and wonder why we'd get just shot to pieces. Put something on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor. Put it on and walk out the door and go, you know what? I may get shot at, but I'm ready for you. Instead of just winging it and then coming home at night going, what happened to me? You cannot, I do not recommend doing it by yourself. And part of the reason is if the devil, this wolf, this Satan can get you isolated, then he can start feeding you all kind of garbage. And before you know it, he's got you rolled. You're on your butt.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.